Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, my grandma used to call them killjoys. My mother used to call them nitpickers. You know the ones. I'm sure you've seen them at work, at school, on vacation. Maybe you've just given this spectacular presentation at work, solved a major problem, saved the company thousands of dollars. Then it comes. Maybe from a coworker, or worse yet, from a manager. Well, thank you. But did you know you didn't format your PowerPoint correctly? Or maybe you're on vacation, the vacation of a lifetime, seeing one of the great wonders of the world, trekking over desert and breathtaking landscape, listening to the guide describe how ancient people created such a marvel without modern equipment. You're feeling dwarfed and in awe of the moment. When suddenly, someone raises their hand from the back and asks the guide a question. Don't you think the souvenir shop should have better selection out here? I was reminded of these scenarios when I read the scripture lesson. Jesus has just healed the lame, cast out demons, walked on water, and fed over 5,000 people with a boy's sack lunch. And then here comes the legal experts and the fine, upstanding church folk. And what do they have to say? Jesus, we saw your disciples feeding all those hungry people, and we couldn't help but notice something. We don't think they followed the simple rules of the meal. We're not sure they washed their hands first. You know, this is a tough passage for a preacher. Here we are, standing, or in case of COVID, sometimes sitting up here preaching, saying all kinds of things on a passage that tells us to be very, very careful about what we say. And I don't know about other preachers, but it can make me feel very self-conscious and ultra aware of the words coming out of my mouth, making sure they are pleasing to God. Jesus is telling the Pharisees and the scribes, as well as teaching his disciples, your words and actions reveal who you are. Your speech and deeds reveal your true identity, for they reveal your heart. So, what is our identity as revealed in our words and actions? And what is our true hearts as revealed in what we do and what we say? How will we reveal ourselves to Jesus, to the stranger? Some say that the reason for this decline in civility in our society, that we as a society as a whole have become unkind to the stranger. Some say it's because of so many people not being as connected to God and to the church as they used to be. I wonder sometimes, could the opposite be true? Could it be, perhaps, that the decline in the church is partly because of good church people and their response to the stranger? In other words, instead of the decline in society is because people have disconnected to the church, is it perhaps because the people of the church have pushed away the stranger. Some of the most hate-filled words to the poor, the weak, to the marginalized, the sick, the imprisoned, come out of the mouths of Christians in the name of God. I have had young people tell me that they want to go to church, they want to connect to God and to Jesus, but when they try, the people are mean and judgmental, even telling them not to come back until they know how to dress and behave. Whatever happened to the church as a welcoming place, one that understood that it was the church's responsibility to teach our children and the unchurched, not have them come to us already fixed? And how many of us have had that ultra rude checkout person with the Jesus Saves pin right on her chest, you know, right there? Or perhaps you're the server and the people at the table belittle you and demean you and leave a few cents as a tip, and you know they just came from church. You know, when I was a hostess and used to wait tables to support myself and my daughter, we, the staff, used to dread Sunday afternoons. Why? Because that's when all the good church people came to the restaurant after church. Rude, belittling, and often just leaving a meager tip or no tip at all, and one of those fake $100 bills that you open up after you're so excited and it says, "Do you know where you're going if you die tonight?" Or we've seen the person on the freeway that cuts us off while giving you some sign language, to let you know just exactly how they feel about you and your driving, only for them to pass you and you see the bumper sticker, "Follow me to such and such church." Is the stranger, the unchurched, seeing these things as well and saying, "Well, if that's church, I don't want anything to do with it"? How will we reveal ourselves as people of God, as lovers and followers of Jesus? How will we reveal ourselves to each other, to our family, to our friends? You know, and it's not just those who are outside of the membership of our church family that our words can harm. Are we kind, loving Christians inside the building, only to treat our family with scorn and hurtful words when we get home? Do we break the bread of Christ and commune together at his holy table, only to go out for lunch afterwards and gossip about our fellow Christians? You know, there's a joke that us pastors often tell one another about what is the main entree for Sunday dinner for most church members. Roast preacher. How will we reveal our identity to one another? How will we reveal ourselves to God and the church? What words will we use? How will we reveal ourselves in worship? Will we go through the motions? Will we simply make sure that we say all the right words? Or will we worship with our true hearts? You see, God knows our hearts already, and God cannot be fooled. We can sing every song in the hymnal, know the words by heart, have the perfect tone. We can use the best liturgy and the best prayers. But if we do not bring our hearts to worship, They're just empty sounds. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. Will our words give us away? Will we stand up at the right time in worship, but fail to stand up at the right time for our fellow human? This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I'm sure you know that old nursery rhyme. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Never were more false words spoken. Words do cause harm. They cause harm to others. They cause harm in our relationship with our God. But perhaps there is something that we need to even be more aware of. They cause harm to any of us who would speak harsh, hateful, ungodly words. Our words can justify us, or they can defile us. Nowhere does Jesus say that what comes out of our mouths defiles another in the sight of God. God knows us, and he doesn't need to listen to what another person says about us to know our hearts. And while their words do hurt our hearts, they have no bearing, none, on our relationship to God. But here is where the Christian needs to be aware. Perhaps as much as harming others, our words harm us. Hateful words reveal a hateful heart. Hurtful words reveal a heart that is broken and empty. Words that seek to divide and isolate reveal a heart of bitterness and resentment. But there's good news. The reverse is true. Words of kindness reveal a heart of love. Healing words reveal a heart mended and full. Words that unite and bring us together reveal a heart open and tender. But how do we heal if our hearts are broken or hurt? We begin a conversation of hope, a conversation of love, a conversation of unity and of vision. We claim our God-given identity through our words and our actions. Is it that simple? No. It will take time. But we will begin. We will begin with our words. Words can reveal our hearts as we claim them to be, even if we're not quite there yet. Yes, words are that powerful. That's what the scripture is saying. They can revile and defile us, or they can witness and claim healing if they are claimed in faith and in truth. When Jesus quoted Isaiah, "These people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me," I do believe he was thinking more of the priests and the Pharisees, those in church who had it all down and said all the right things, than he was the tax collector, the gang member, the single mother, praying in the temple and humbling themselves before God. You see, they knew that they weren't quite there yet. But in that opened heart, They claimed their healing and asked God for forgiveness. They came with their hearts, not just words. Then they let their heart reveal their words in all its imperfections, yet claiming the grace of God. Our own John Wesley was concerned about this when he wrote in his journal, and when he asked his mentor about what he should do when he was worried about his preaching, about his own words, and telling others about a faith that he wasn't quite sure of himself, and he felt unworthy. John wrote, "Immediately, it stuck to my mind. Leave off preaching. How can you preach to others when you have no faith yourself?" I asked Bowler whether he thought I should leave it off or not. He answered, "By no means." I asked, "But what can I preach?" He said, "Preach faith till you have it, and then, because you have it, you will preach faith." Our words reveal our hearts, and our hearts give our words. If we want faith, we must claim faith. If we want a strong relationship with our neighbors, we must claim it and speak it publicly and privately. If we want a better relationship with our loved ones, with our family, with our friends, we must use our words and actions to build that relationship. And if we want to claim our identity as a strong and vital church today, working for the kingdom now and to come, then we, Belmont Heights United Methodist Church, we must claim it. If we have the faith, the heart of our church, we must speak it. It's time to claim our identity with our hearts and with our words. It's time to cease the words of a broken heart and speak the words of a healed heart, a heart filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's begin. Let's begin the conversation. We're doing that on Wednesday. I invite you to join us. Let's reveal our hearts to Jesus. Whether or not you can be there on Wednesday, reveal it in your home, reveal it in your workplace, reveal it in your lives at the grocery store. And if the Pharisees are offended by our claim, well, let's not worry about it. Let's have some words with friends and reveal our true identity. Let's begin today. And when tomorrow comes, let's begin then too. And all the tomorrows after that. Let's have this conversation. And let us reveal our hearts to one another and to our Lord God. Let us speak of our visions, our dreams, our faith. And let us reveal and claim our heart-bound identity and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Words with friends. Will you have some good ones today?